Thank you for standing by. This is the conference operator. Welcome to the Zymeworks ZW49 Clinical Update Conference Call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode, and the conference is being recorded. After the presentation, there'll be an opportunity to ask questions. To join the question queue, you may press star, then one on your telephone keypad. Should you need assistance during the conference call, you may signal an operator by pressing star and zero. I would now like to turn the conference over to Ryan Durko, Senior Director of Corporate Affairs. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. Today, we will provide an update on our novel antibody-drug conjugate, ZW49. The call will be led by Dr. Ali Tehrani, Zymeworks President and CEO, followed by comments from Zymeworks Chief Scientific Officer, Dr. Tony Polverino, and Zymeworks Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Diana Hausman. Final closing remarks will be provided by Dr. Tehrani, and the speakers will be available for Q&A after the prepared remarks. Before we begin, I would like to remind you that we will be making forward-looking statements during the call. Forward-looking statements can be identified by words such as will, continue, may, potential of, initiate, look forward to, expect, believe, plan, anticipate, enable, and similar words. Forward-looking statements are based upon our current expectations and various assumptions and are subject to the usual risks and uncertainties associated with companies of our industry and of our stage of development. For a discussion of these risks and uncertainties, we refer you to our 10-Q for the quarter ended September 30th, 2020, as well as our other filings with the SEC. As a reminder, the audio of today's event will be available on Zymeworks' website later today. I will now turn the call over to Ali.
Thank you, Ryan. Good afternoon and welcome, everyone. My name is Ali Tehrani, and I'm the President and CEO of Zymeworks. We are pleased to have you here today to provide an overview of the most recent clinical development of our HER2 bispecific ADC, ZW49. On the call, you will learn that ZW49 is an active agent with antitumor activity in several tumor types, that ZW49 has a differentiated safety profile compared to other ADCs, and that based on the data we have generated to date, we have advanced ZW49 into the next stage of clinical development. Before we present the clinical data, we will start with a brief introduction to ZW49 from our Chief Scientific Officer, Dr. Tony Polverino. Tony?
Thanks, Ali. So for those of us today that are less familiar with ZW49, I just want to give a brief description of the design goals and highlight the differential attributes of this molecule. So ZW49 is a novel bispecific ADC targeting two non-overlapping epitopes of HER2. It combines the unique design of zanidatamab with our ZymeLink platform, comprised of our proprietary auristatin cytotoxin and cleavable linker conjugated at a drug-antibody ratio, or DAR, of two. Now, as a class, ADCs are designed to deliver potent toxins specifically to target tissues and to reduce effects on normal healthy cells. Now, despite some early success, many ADCs are still limited by off-target toxicities and inefficient delivery of their toxins to target cells. ZW49 and the ZymeLink ADC platform were specifically designed to enhance the delivery of toxin to the tumor and minimize toxicity in normal tissues. We sought to accomplish this in two distinct ways. To increase toxin delivery, we exploited the unique binding geometries of our biparatopic antibody, zanidatamab, which promotes high-order complex formation of HER2 receptors. This leads to increased cell binding, increased receptor internalization, and increased release of toxin intracellularly compared to normal monospecific antibodies. These attributes result in potent antitumor activity in a variety of pharmacology models. ZW49 was tested in multiple tumor types, including breast, gastric, colon, and esophageal cancers, and they encompassed a range of HER2 expression. ZW49 demonstrated compelling efficacy across a range of tumor types and in HER2 high and HER2 low expressing tumors. Now, on the other hand, to minimize normal tissue toxicity, we sought to improve both the linker toxin stability and the physicochemical properties of the ADC itself. The proprietary linker toxin payload enhances the serum stability of the ADC, resulting in pharmacokinetic and biophysical properties that are similar to conventional antibodies. Studies in non-human primates and patients have confirmed the PK profiles of ZW49 overlap with that of total antibody, demonstrating the enhanced stability of our ADCs. The selection of ZW49 as the lead clinical candidate involved testing different toxin analogs and different DARs. ZW49 had the highest therapeutic index of the molecules tested. In our non-human primate studies, we dosed animals up to 18 mg per kg with no significant impact on hematological parameters. At this dose of 18 mg per kg, the level of free toxin in plasma was below 1 nanogram per mL. Other ADCs with less stable linker toxins suffer from plasma instability, and consequently, hematological toxicity often manifests as a key adverse effect, both in non-human primates and in patients. The totality of our preclinical data enabled us to initiate the first in-human trial at a starting dose of 1 mg per kg. I would like to now turn the call over to my colleague and Zymeworks Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Diana Hausman. Diana?
Thank you, Tony, and good afternoon, everyone. Today, I'm going to provide an overview of the ongoing Phase 1 study of ZW49. This study initially opened in the second quarter of 2019 and has been actively enrolling patients at 12 clinical sites across the United States and Canada, with 35 patients enrolled to date. The data I'll be speaking to are from a database snapshot from earlier this month and are subject to change. The ongoing study is a first-in-human, two-part Phase 1 study consisting of dose escalation and indication-specific expansion cohorts at doses and schedules that are under evaluation for future study. Portion of the study is using a 3+3 design to evaluate different doses and dosing regimens, including a once every 2 week and once every 3 week schedule, in order to best assess the therapeutic window of ZW49 and provide optionality for future studies. Enrolled patients include those with HER2-positive cancers based on local site assessment using IHC, FISH, or next-generation sequencing. Retrospective central assessment of HER2 status by IHC and FISH is also being performed. Patients with a variety of cancer types have been enrolled, including breast cancer, gastroesophageal adenocarcinoma, gynecologic cancers, non-small cell lung cancer, anal cancer, and colorectal cancer. Patients must have disease that has progressed after standard of care therapies. As is typical for a study at this phase of development, patients have been heavily pretreated, with approximately 80% of patients having received prior HER2-targeted agents, including trastuzumab, pertuzumab, T-DM1, trastuzumab directs TCAN, and a variety of investigational agents. The initial regimen evaluated a once every 2 week schedule, starting at a dose of 1 mg/kg. This starting dose is higher than typical for an ADC, reflecting the good tolerability observed in the GLP toxicology study. As the study has progressed, we've amended the protocol to include additional dosing regimens. Next, I'm going to focus on the overall safety and anti-tumor activity. In the 35 patients who've been treated to date across all dosing regimens, there have been no dose-limiting toxicities, no treatment hematologic toxicities, including neutropenia or thrombocytopenia, no treatment-related pulmonary toxicity, including interstitial lung disease or pneumonitis, and no treatment-related liver toxicity. There have been no treatment-related deaths. Over 90% of treatment-related adverse events have been grade 1 or 2 in severity and manageable in the outpatient setting. The most common treatment-related adverse events have been keratitis in approximately 40% of patients and fatigue and diarrhea, each in approximately 30% of patients. These have all been, again, reversible and manageable in an outpatient. outpatient setting. There have been no discontinuations due to treatment-related adverse events, and we have not yet established the maximum tolerated dose. Encouragingly, we've seen evidence of anti-tumor activity across all regimens and dose levels evaluated to date. Even at our lowest dose level of 1 mg/kg once every 2 weeks, tumor shrinkage. We have been evaluating the safety and anti-tumor activity of the every 2 week and every 3 week regimens over the past year with the objective of selecting a go-forward dose and regimen to advance into disease-specific expansion cohorts. From both a safety and anti-tumor perspective, the every 3 week schedule has demonstrated a more optimal profile for continued development. With respect to safety, while we saw no toxicity dosing regimen, we did observe the only two grade 3 treatment-related adverse events that have occurred in the study to date. Consisted of one reversible grade 3 diarrhea and one event of reversible grade 3 keratitis, with the severity based primarily on changes in visual acuity. Conversely, as of today, we have not seen any treatment-related grade 3 events in the once every 3 week regimen. With respect to anti-tumor activity, we have observed partial responses and stable disease per RECIST in both the once every 2 week and once every 3 week dosing regimens. Focusing on the 3 week regimen, we have started to observe the emergence of a response relationship yet doses evaluated. At the initial dose of 2 mg/kg, we observed several patients with stable disease, including some patients with disease control greater than 4 months. At the highest doses tested in the once every 3 week regimens at dose levels of 2.5 or 3 mg/kg, there have been 6 response evaluations with centrally confirmed HER2 positive disease. The anti-tumor in these 6 patients with a variety of tumor types includes 2 patients with confirmed partial response and 2 with stable disease. 3 of these patients are still active on study. We are currently enrolling in the 3 mg/kg cohort and are encouraged with the activity thus far and plan to dose escalate with this regimen. In addition, we have opened a once weekly dosing regimen to explore an alternative exposure profile. While we have not yet established a maximum tolerated dose for ZW49, we have seen encouraging anti-tumor activity and have decided to advance the program to the next stage of development. We have opened and patients have started dosing in indication-specific expansion cohorts at 2.5 mg/kg in the every 3 week regimen in HER2-positive breast cancer, HER2-positive gastroesophageal adenocarcinoma, and a basket cohort of other HER2-positive cancers. These cohorts will help us better define the activity of ZW49 in these different indications. The decision to open these cohorts was also driven by the high level of clinician and patient interest in the study. We have lots of flexibility in the study design to either increase the dose in the current expansion cohorts or to add additional cohorts to the study depending on the outcomes from these efforts. The expansion cohorts are now enrolling at our active sites in the US and Canada and are expected to open soon at additional sites in South Korea and Australia in collaboration with Beijing. Going forward, we plan on adding cohorts in lower HER2-expressing cancers. In addition, as auristatin-based ADCs have the potential to augment immune response, we're looking at possible combination studies with PD-1 inhibitors. In summary, we've made good progress from a clinical perspective with ZW49, enrolling over 30 patients despite the challenges of COVID, which interrupted and slowed enrollment the first half of last year. We have demonstrated a differentiated safety profile manageable in the outpatient setting with no treatment-related hematologic, pulmonary, or liver toxicity and no treatment-related discontinuations. We've seen encouraging evidence of anti-tumor activity in a heterogeneous group of tumor types across a range of dose levels and schedules and have opened up expansion cohorts to allow us to advance the program while continuing to explore additional treatment regimens. We are doing this with the strong support of our clinical investigators and our patients who continue to be excited about the program. I'd now like to ask Ali for his closing comments.
Thank you, Diana. I would like to conclude the session by focusing on our vision for ZW49. The point of ADCs was that they were going to target cytotoxic chemotherapy specifically to the tumor and eliminate the systemic side effects that have plagued and limited chemotherapy for decades. And while there are now several approved ADC-based therapeutics that have demonstrated meaningful efficacy, serious side effects continue to be the Achilles heel. Common occurrences of severe myelosuppression, neuropathy, hepatotoxicity, and lung toxicities leading to high discontinuation rates remain a signature of cytotoxin-based treatments. From the beginning, our aim has been to develop an efficacious treatment for patients without asking them to compromise on safety. The emerging clinical profile of ZW49 that you learned about today is consistent with what we envisioned from this program from the outset. Our preclinical data supported our thesis, and our clinical data suggest we are on track to accomplish our goal. I believe we have just scratched the surface of what is possible with the W49. The activity and the differentiated safety profile enable us to continue to develop ZW49 as a single agent and to explore a number of combinations with other therapeutics, such as IO agents, to maximize the value to patients and address their needs while reducing the potential risk of irreversible treatment-related adverse events. I look forward to our next update on this program at a future medical conference and, perhaps before that, informing you of potential partnerships involving the ZymeLink platform, which consists of the linker and the payload that is used with ZW49.